We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. We are safe and secure in your grace and goodness. Nothing is too strong for you. No one can pluck us from your hand. And with these divine assurances, dear Lord, we rest at peace. We are still and know that you are God, our refuge and strength, our ever great reward. Bless us and guide us ever onward. In Christ our Savior, amen. God is a most unusual gardener. Think of it a second. If your neighbors walked past your house on the sidewalk and they saw your flower beds and your vegetable garden filled with weeds hip high, what would they think? Oh, did they move out? Did someone die? What great tragedy has happened that they would have abandoned their flower beds like this? It would have been a disaster. Well, our world is full of toxic weeds. But it's not because God has abandoned or neglected us in this world, no. He has decided to allow Satan to sow his weeds, to let them go. It makes no sense to us. It certainly isn't how we would garden this world. But God gardens with supernatural skill. That's beyond our ability to fathom. In his garden of this world, God protects his children, his wheat, as side by side, wheat and weeds grow. Our lives are not perfect and pristine like it was back in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. No, they're far from that. Weeds want to infect the soil under our feet and also the soil of our heart and do their damage. It may not make any sense to us, but here the weeds and the wheat grow together. And so that causes for us to struggle. Struggle to thrive in such a weed-filled world. Always with our eyes on that promise that the harvest is coming. The day of harvest. Satan slithered through that Garden of Eden so many years ago. He couldn't topple God from his throne, and so he went to destroy God's creatures, Adam and Eve. A snake slithers in our garden too, and his name is Satan. Jesus used that picture of a wheat field to describe the damage that Satan does in this world. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, he says, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. In any American farm field, weeds are not very good to have in your wheat field. When weeds grow around wheat, they drain the soil of all the nutrients. They soak up all the rainwater. And they rob the wheat of any sunlight as they grow taller and shade them and use all that sunlight for themselves. And so often the wheat wither and produce no grain. We not only have a serpent slithering through our garden, we have a Savior in our garden, and his name is Jesus. He sows a different seed. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of his kingdom. We are here because he has created us to be his children. And the world cannot comprehend where he has planted us. Jesus Our God and our Redeemer is the soil our roots are set down in. The word of truth that comes from the very mouth of God onto the pages of the Bible is that sunshine that we bask in, that grows us straight and tall. That cleansing bath that unites us with Christ, that robe of His holiness that He wraps around us, those loving arms of God that embrace us for all eternity, that is the water that we drink up and nourish our roots, revives our hearts each and every day. The world wants nothing to do with God's soil, His sunshine, or His rain. No, the world sets down its soil in the world. The weeds have their roots in this world. The sunshine of the weeds is their own logic and opinions. The water that the weeds drink up are their own passions and desires to be their own gods. And that spells death. But much to our frustration, Jesus decided not to pull the weeds out, but to have them grow side by side, the weeds and the wheat. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to pull up the weeds?" And Jesus says, "No, no, don't pull them up, because in pulling them up, you might root up some of the wheat along with them. No, let them grow side by side until the harvest. Then the angels will come. Side by side, God's wheat and Satan's weeds grow together." In this world and on every side, we are attacked by this world's mindset, its view of life, its attitudes, and most of its attitudes against God. And so there's a tension for God's wheat as we're surrounded in this forest of weeds, a tension as we struggle, to thrive. Our struggle is to make sure our roots dig down ever deeper into that soil known as God. To keep our face focused in on that light divine that comes through His holy word, that we might continue to grow and prosper. A struggle to keep on watering our soul with God's eternal love, His absolute power, His purpose for our lives. To stay close to our good shepherd and not wander away. The world wants nothing to do with it. And if we neglect God's gifts, then Satan will topple us with his lies that he used on Adam and Eve so long ago. And so we struggle. On one side of the coin, we're in great danger if we don't see the weeds around us and the threat they carry. On the other side of the coin, we're in danger if we become overwhelmed being little itty bitty wheat in this forest of weeds, quack grass and thistles, and oh, what's ever to become of us? Examples. One of the things in our world, in our nation, that we enjoy is the separation of church and state. That's a good thing. God has created the state in order to provide people with safety and peace in their land. God has created the church in order to spread the gospel so that more and more may come and believe and join us in heaven. And so in the public schools that are run by the government, we are very thankful that they do not try to teach God's word, religion. They'd mess it all up. But sometimes we are stressed out and under hardship because sometimes public schools don't overtly attack Christian values, and sometimes they specifically set up classes that they mandate in order to turn our attention away from God and turn it toward ourselves. So in that there is a struggle to live in the wheat field with weeds all around. It hurts us when our American schools' classrooms teach us that we're just highly evolved chimpanzees, or that abortion is nothing more than birth control. The academic view of religion is that it's nice that religions help people feel good about themselves, but they're woefully insignificant in the pursuit of truth. Science, according to the world, is the only reliable source of truth, and society and people's own views are to determine what is right and what is wrong. Our struggle to thrive may be felt around our own kitchen table, or with our coworkers, or our golf buddies. God wants us to love all people, even the weeds of the world, that we might live with each and every day. Some unbelievers are very friendly and respectful toward our Christian faith, while others are more confrontational and hostile. God's will is that we have hearts of sincere love for all of them and speak the truth in love of our Savior's death and resurrection to purchase salvation for all people. But sometimes there's a struggle as these weeds that are so closely bound to us in love and companionship may offer temptations. When our loved ones encourage us to have premarital sex or extramarital affairs, often that animal magnetism pulls us in the direction to give in to that temptation. We know that as our sinful nature. Our hearts may be filled with great fear as we are challenged to do what pleases God rather than what makes us happy. Our friends and family might chime in, "Oh, it's your life. Do whatever you want to with it. You deserve to be happy." Really? What do we really deserve? The struggle of being wheat among the weeds also exists in the Christian church. Big voices in the Christian church try to convince people that don't pay so much attention to the Bible. That really isn't the inspired word of God. That voice within you is so much more inspired than Scripture. Or those voices might try to encourage and preach to their people that we're basically good people. There's no such place as hell. That's a myth. And God is so loving, He wouldn't really keep anyone out of heaven. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But it's not what God's Word says. False teachers in the Christian church will sum it up: pray and try to do something good. And that's all that God asks of us. That's our definition of our faith. That's our ticket to heaven. But the problem is, it isn't. Our sinful nature loves those lies. Our sinful nature seeks to choke out our faith. But even if we feel like little stalks of wheat in a forest of thistles and quack grass, Jesus still miracle grows us through His word and sacrament to make us firm, strong, and steadfast. For neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when we feel down, defeated, burdened, as though we can't go on, we need to remember that the day of harvest is coming. Jesus promised in this parable, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of the kingdom, of his kingdom, everything that causes sin and everyone who does evil, they will be thrown into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Judgment day is coming. Can you envision God's angels with their massive hands grabbing the weeds by their roots and yanking them out and throwing them into the fiery furnace? Well, the problem is he's not talking about plants. He's talking about unbelievers. And that fiery furnace is none other than hell, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth that never ends. Jesus died and rose to save all people. Those who reject Jesus forfeit the grace that God would have for them. There is no other way to heaven. That is why it is so important for us to be sharing that good news, that Jesus has paid for the sins of all people, and in him there is life everlasting in heaven. That good news that God's arms are open wide and welcome all people to himself, to live with him in heaven forever, is the very message we want to impress upon our children. And the children in Africa and Russia and Afghanistan and India and the children next door. For the harvest is coming, and coming quickly. Jesus finished his analogy of the wheat and the weeds with an ominous warning. He who has ears, let him hear. Do we have ears? Do we have ears that want to hear what God has to say? Or does the noise of this world drown out God's voice, his words from our heart? Blessed is the man, the woman, the child who hungers in their hearts for God's word and chews on it each and every day. They will never lack good soil. The water of life and the light of God's word will always be with them and upon them. In the best of weather or the worst drought, Jesus will still be that river, of that stream of the water of life. And so our leaf will not wither. And we will bear a bumper crop to the glory of our God. A bumper crop in the face of all the weeds to show them how great and glorious our Heavenly Father truly is. May that be our lives, here and to all eternity. Amen. Please stand. We pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us to be your own children. Called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. So work your miracle and grow in us a devoted heart and life, dear Lord, that we might sing your praise and live to your glory. Bless us, strengthen us now and forever. In Christ our Savior. Amen.